When the movie Elizabethtown opened this month, it received less than flattering reviews. But director Cameron Crowe was praised for the film's soundtrack.
From this day on, I own my father's gun.
Cameron Crowe combines songs by some of today's best singer-songwriters with lost gems from the 60s and the 70s. It's become his calling card in films like Jerry Maguire and Vanilla Sky. And music journalist Ashley Kahn says the compilation soundtrack has eclipsed the tradition of creating original music scores for films.
There's no doubt that the right piece of music can make a movie. When a director finds a singular match of sound and image, it can forever link a piece of music to an enduring cinematic experience.
The soundtrack, whether it's The Exorcist or Jaws, first and foremost, be a souvenir of the experience you give people with your movie. The piece of music that can help you summon up the feeling of the movie.
Cameron Crowe is the film director who started out as a music reporter for Rolling Stone magazine. He has a long list of favorite movie moments that are defined by the music, like this one from Martin Scorsese's film Goodfellas, starring Ray Liotta. You can climb a mountain.
You can swim the sea. I was going to be busy all day. I had to drop off some guns at Jimmy's to match some silencers he had gotten. I had to pick up my brother at the hospital and drive him back to the house for dinner that night. And then I had to pick up some new Pittsburgh stuff for Lois to fly down to some customers I had near Atlanta.
Leave it to Scorsese, you know, who is obviously one of the great music lovers to ever pick up a camera and film. He knew that used in the right way, Jump Into the Fire would feel like cocaine. It's an aggravating song that you can't get out of your head. That toxic, adrenalized feel.
Soundtracks that rely on popular songs are a Hollywood tradition that stretches back decades, and that have long upstaged another older tradition, the original film score. Well, you can't tell by the way I use my
voice, I'm a woman's man. No time to talk. When the Bee Gees' Stayin' Alive hit in Saturday Night Fever, because that was such an important kind of moment in movies, everybody noticed that soundtrack sold a gazillion copies, and suddenly you're a studio president and you're saying, well, you know, I think that kind of orchestration thing can be replaced by, what about the Four Seasons?
To many who continue to compose original symphonic music for films, today's jukebox approach to creating movie soundtracks is a step backwards.
Now, what's happening now, there's no respect for the contribution that a composer can make to a film.
Lalo Schifrin is one of Hollywood's most celebrated composers. He's created music for over 100 movies and television programs since the early 60s.
When we write, we are not trying to write something popular. We're trying to write something that works for the movie or for the television show.
Schifrin is best known for composing the Mission Impossible theme.
The difference between score and soundtrack is soundtrack is just the CD or the album that the studio made deals to have the record released. In many, many cases, none of the music in the record is in the movie.
Schifrin sees himself as part of a vanishing breed, a brotherhood of great composers who created original music for the screen.
John Williams with Star Wars is a big example. Jerry Goldsmith, the theme of Patton. James Horner with the Titanic. Elmer Bernstein with the Magnificent Seven.
By the end of the 60s, composers were joined by a new person on the Hollywood lot, the music supervisor. His job was to help maximize the profit that could come from the movie soundtrack. Cameron Crowe feels it's best to avoid them.
And I would say to these young filmmakers, don't hire a music supervisor that's going to come in and try and tell you what records to use and how you can sneak them in scenes where the music doesn't really belong.
An example of a song that Crow feels does work is in the movie Jackie Brown. It's an old soul tune that accompanies the beginning of a love affair between two characters, played by Robert Forster and Pam Grier.
It's pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Who is this?
The Delphonics.
It's nice.
Mm-hmm. Tarantino played the Delphonics song, Didn't I Blow Your Mind This Time, in Jackie Brown. I lost it. I love that song. And I was sort of like watching also as a director going, damn, I had that in my pocket. He got there first.
Crow is right. After seeing Jackie Brown, there's no way to hear that song again and not be transported back to the movie. And that indelible link is what every director hopes for, whether it comes from an original score or from a popular song.
Now you just sort of crave the best of both, really. A world-class marriage between score and song that's really great, really contemporary. It still holds up.
Can popular songs and original scores find a happy future together? Lalo Schifrin is skeptical.
Could be a marriage, or it's going to be shotgun wedding, or it's going to be love. And I don't know.
To find the music that fits the scene, sells the soundtrack, and still manages to create timeless movie magic, that's a hard thing to pull off, even in Hollywood, a town that's known for unusual mergers.
Ashley Kahn is author of the book Kind of Blue, The Making of the Miles Davis Masterpiece. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.